Hey everybody, my name is John Ash. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been on the road traveling just for COVID and stuff, but it's really good to be back. I've got some friends up in Roanoke, so ministered there in the past, but it's really good to be here. I met John and Abner a few years back. They landed into our neck of the woods, and they've been kind of plaguing me ever since. You know, it's like bad smells, they don't go away. No, I'm kidding. It's really, really good to be in this house. Good to be here, and good to see all faces. I have a real quiet excitement inside of me specifically about tomorrow. I just get this thing where I kind of think, you know, when you've been around the prophetic ministry for a long time and God comes along and he puts a bunch of people and you're just kind of used to something and you all come, you know, the people come tomorrow wearing orange tops and luminous vests and colored pick me, you know what I'm saying? And then you kind of leave disappointed because the prophet didn't call you out. Well, I just want to say God's going to get every single one of you tomorrow, okay? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? And then there's the other group of people who are like wearing dark clothes and hiding in the back that don't want to be called out. You know who you are? Right? They're the ones I tend to home in on, okay? So don't hide. Come wearing bright colors tomorrow and Abner will get you, and I'll get you guys hiding in the back. No, I'm kidding. It's really good to be here. Listen, I'm from Northern Ireland. Ireland, the island of Ireland. It's a little patch of land that's been fought over for about 1,400 years. They're still fighting about it. Now we've got Brexit, and we've got a whole bunch of things. I don't know whether you follow some of you Irish ancestry. Everybody in America loves the Irish. It just seems to be the way it is. And well, that's because most of you came from there. I want you to know that your ancestors were mostly criminals that escaped and landed here to avoid prosecution back there. Or there you go. Hey, let me tell you some things about the Irish. As I said, I'm from Northern Ireland, from Belfast, about 20 minutes north of Belfast. Who's watched the movie? Anybody watched the movie Belfast? Yeah. If you haven't, just you two? Okay, you need to go and get Netflix or wherever it's on, or it might be, I'm not sure what it's on, but go and find the movie Belfast. It gives you a little bit of insight into our history. I was born to a Catholic Republican, not the same Republican as you guys, okay? Irish Republican, it's different, it's entirely different. And we had IRA uncles and a whole bunch of freedom fighters, that's what they believed. And then my dad was a staunch religious Protestant. And they got together one night at a party and produced me, 1972. So I'm what's called one of the children of the Troubles. Now, some of you who are kind of, you know, a lot older than others, you'll remember Northern Ireland through 35 years of what was called the Troubles. Today, we still have walls between Catholic and Protestant communities, where one street on one side of the fence is Catholic, the other street is Protestant, and there's a wall runs for 27 miles up the middle of Belfast. And over the last year, we've been taking 14 miles of those walls down. And God's beginning to, it's really interesting. The walls have become quite famous for tourists now. They come and write their names on the wall. And it was so good to see that all go away. So there's some communities are beginning to break through and our country's prospering. And I genuinely believe it's down to the prayers of the nations. People prayed for Northern Ireland historically, and there's a rich heritage. And we're a land of saints and scholars. Patrick started sending 4,000 disciples out around Northern Europe. They planted hundreds of churches. The Irish came here in the 18th century, planted a lot of churches. A lot of the revival history came from my own local town where it came, the birth of Presbyterianism. In my local town, the 1849 revivals called the Ulster Awakening. Sousa Street came out of that. American revivals that took place all came from where I live locally. And there was two great historical revivals, and the Lord told me just this last year that we were going to see the third. 4 weeks ago, we ran a conference where I don't think I've ever experienced a touch of heaven quite like I experienced. We had over 50 healings, and I'm not talking about small. We saw major miracles that I have never seen in our country. We saw religion. How many of you know religion is a destroyer of faith? Yeah. We all have to lose our inner Pharisee. Who's got one? You just admit it and quit it. That's just the way it goes. Let me tell you something about the Irish, okay? First of all, we're sarcastic people. If I'm sarcastic to you, it means I like you. If I'm not, worry, okay? All right? We just love ripping each other apart. It's kind of the way it is. We feel complete when we're sarcastic. It's kind of one of those things. Dark humor. We've come through 35 years of troubles. We're a tough nation. The old Fighting Irish hasn't left us too far. You know that Titanic was built in Belfast? Yeah. We give it an Englishman and he sunk it. It's true. C.S. Lewis grew up in Northern Ireland and in Belfast. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia when he was a young guy in a house, which if you ever come, I'll take you and show it to you. Four U.S. presidents' families came from Northern Ireland. There you go. You can do a little bit of history and figure that one out. You need to know some things, you Americans. You need to know some things. Okay, first of all, we don't eat any more potatoes than you do. True, Bill. Okay? You guys eat more potatoes than us, okay? There's no such things of leprechauns, okay? I kid you not, leprechauns were made up by Americans.
No, really?
True. Darby O'Gill was a Disney production, and all that nonsense came from that movie. True, okay? Now, we do have fairies, okay? The little people. We just don't have leprechauns. And we'll take you to Fairy Glens. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Lucky Charms were banned 14 years ago in the UK, in Northern Ireland and Ireland. Too many numbers, okay? You cannot buy Lucky Charms in Ireland. Thank goodness, okay? All right. Okay, and this is important. And I mean never, ever, ever do we say this. We never, ever say top of the morning to you. Ever. Okay? All right? Came from that movie. All right? Okay? And many of you know that St. Patrick wasn't Irish. A few of you knew that, okay, good. Yes, St. Patrick actually may have been Welsh, but we're not sure. And finally, Northern Ireland was voted the third top happiest place to live in the world and voted the sexiest accent ever. There you go. Some facts about Northern Ireland. I lead a church called Journey Community Church. My home church was Christian Fellowship Church in Belfast. Some of you might have heard of Rob and Mark. Some of you maybe remember Days of Elijah, some of those, and the album Revival in Belfast. I'm in that album. I'm actually in that album in the crowd somewhere singing, okay? But yeah, we're in all of that. But I'm a church planter. We planted a church in my own hometown. How many of you know that's not a good idea? All right, especially when you've got the history I have, okay? Too many girlfriends. God has a sense of humor. The first service I did as a pastor in my hometown, three of my ex-girlfriends and my wife were sitting in the front row. Yeah, uncomfortable or what? See, when God calls you to do things, you've got to be crazy. We also have planted a church just in Downpatrick. Our church building is 400 meters from St. Patrick's grave. There's two other saints in there, St. Bridget and St. Can't remember his name. He's got a weird Irish name. But there's three saints buried just right where our church building is. These guys have been to it. And we planted a church in Downpatrick, which was known as the Church Planters Graveyard. There's been 700 churches planted in the town from back in the day. And most of them have died a death. We just bought a new building. We're an old bingo hall. We bought a new building that was built about 5 years ago at $1.2 million, and the guy who bought it, COVID, kind of killed it off. And COVID was one of the greatest things ever happened in the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds really weird, and you're all going to get freaked out by that. But can I tell you, the blessing that we received during the COVID season was unbelievable. How many of you know that we're living in the greatest days ever? You know, it's funny, I've never said that. I think sometimes we're waiting for the end times to come, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Can I tell you, we're living in the greatest days. You know, 100 years ago, if you wanted to go to Australia, you had to get on a ship, take you 3 months to get there, and if you got there without dying of dysentery, you can go there now, and any time you can be... We've got the best healthcare. We've got the best food. We've got the best education. We're living in the greatest days ever. And if you've got a theology that's waiting for the doom and gloom to come, you need to go and check your theology. We're about to come into the greatest harvest, the greatest season, the greatest breakthrough, the greatest deliverance season ever to take place, the greatest healing season. I'm saying this to my people, and I want to say it to you because it's important. I'm refreshed to hear Abner giving Americans a hard time. Come on. All right. It's good. How many of you know it's good to look at yourself? You know, the Bible says, search me and know me, O God. See if there's anything within me. We planted a church. We've We're the largest growing church in Ireland right now. We've looked at some facts in that. I think it happened. We got a new building at the end of COVID, and we took off. And we kind of had a new building a year ago, and we've outgrown it already. So I literally am looking for some new money and start a whole new building project to add on to our new building. We had to knock a wall down for our kids' rooms between one room and another. Don't tell me the church isn't on fire and moving. You know, and I think sometimes we settle for the now. It's what Abner's saying. We settle for the now when God doesn't want to settle for now. If you settle for what you've got right now, you'll not advance. Amen. You know, and the prophetic. Many of you know you can have thousands of worship sessions, thousands of sermons, read the Bible every day, but one prophetic word can change your destiny like that. Yes. And I think sometimes we're hungry for it, but I have this thing right now where we're meant to make disciples. And too many people come to meetings like this to receive. But tomorrow, I want you to kind of start giving. Uh-oh, everybody gets scared now. And, you come around me anytime. I can prophesy. I can speak and prophesy for days. But what makes me happy is when I get you guys prophesying to each other and we release prophetic harvest because, the kingdom of God is advancing and it's not just up to a crack unit of special people. It's down to a bunch of people that when you're in the supermarket or you're in your work employment and you hear the word of the Lord for your colleague and you're able to say, hey, does this mean anything to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. How did you know that? Yeah, lucky guess. Yeah, don't tell them it's God yet. Make them hungry. I often say to people, they say to me, how do you know that? Like my wife hates going shopping with me. Christmas shopping, she takes me shopping. I don't ever shop. I just find people to prophesy to. It's the best fun ever. You know, when you're in a supermarket and you're waiting and she's away getting groceries and buying presents for everybody and I'm talking to the clerk behind the till while she's crying as you're telling her the revelation of God. That's the best fun ever. Who's doing that, by the way? It's interesting, isn't it? I if you're not evangelizing and sharing your faith, you're not a follower of Jesus. Let me say that again. It's not my words, by the way. You can look it up in the scriptures. If you're not sharing your faith and doing this, you're not a follower of Jesus. Pack up and go home. Just go home. Hear me. It's Jesus said you're a waste of space. Ooh. I'll prove it to you. I'm not speaking that over you, by the way, but I'll prove it to you. He said, a big pile of salt that isn't salty isn't even good enough for the manure heap. It would destroy manure. He said it, not me. And we pastors, we go around and we like a big pile of salt. Look at the size of my big pile of salt. I have hundreds. I'd rather have 12 grains of salt that are salty than 1,000 grains that sit doing nothing. And God wants to release something that makes you so hungry, so passionate. And let me tell you what, it starts with a pursuit of holiness. In all the revivals that ever took place, particularly on our island, because how we had to learn this, what I view revival at is very different to how Americans view revival. Even though we're using the same word, we don't mean the same thing. We had three historically huge revivals that changed the world. That when I think of revival, that's what I think of. When you think of revival, you go back to the 60s and 70s and tent missions and crusades and revival meetings. Who went to those? Some of you? You know what I'm saying? And revival is a kind of odd thing. What is revival? Revival is when God's people get activated in a way like they never have before. And if you're not activated in a way like you never have before, then there's a problem. And let me tell you the two problems you have. The first one is the pursuit of holiness. Every revival that took place in Welsh, Scotland and Ireland came from a move of God where people weren't convicted. It wasn't about getting out and doing something. It was about conviction of their own heart. Is there mercy for me? And they cried out to God in repentance. And people, this was the church. And you have to search your own heart. And here's the thing. You might be doing okay with God, but you got to search your heart. Because what I've learned is most Christians actually are more sinful than they believe. And unless we pursue holiness, you won't ever move into revival. And you have to get really honest with yourself. Guess what the prophetic does? The prophetic makes you get honest with yourself. And if it doesn't, it's probably not the prophetic. The second thing that it makes you just get hungry. You see, I think God just has an eternal carrot sitting at the front of churches regularly. And sometimes he's got a big stick. Remember Paul said in Corinthians, he said, I need to come and beat you up. Remember he said that, a group of people, 1 Corinthians, this group of people, they weren't doing what they were supposed to. And Paul writes to them and he says, hey, do I need to come there and sort this out? And then in the second letter he writes, he says, do I need to come with a big stick and beat you? You see, I have a funny picture of Scripture. Every time I read it, I see the humor in it. There's humor in Scripture everywhere. I mean, remember Jesus and John the Baptist get in the river? And they have this argument. I mean, I picture the scene. You know, John's there, prepare the way, Lord. Sackcloth and ashes, all of that stuff. And Jesus comes in and John knows it's Jesus. And they have this conversation. So, John, you got to baptize me. No, Jesus, I'm not baptizing you. No way. You need to baptize me. No, you need to baptize me. Understand, having this argument in the middle of Jordan. You've read it 1,000 times. You don't see the humor in it. See, Scripture's not meant to be serious. And what do? We've made it far too serious. And we've lost the fun in Scripture. We've lost it. You know, and we value education, doctrine, teaching. Many of you know that the church has become a threefold ministry for the last couple of 100 years instead of a fivefold ministry. Oh, we love the teachers. We love the teachers. We've become a non-profit organization. And those apostles, don't let them anywhere near here. Dang it, you let the apostles in, they do crazy things. They make things happen. They make me have to do things I don't want to do because I quite like sitting in a seat all by myself listening to nice people, Irish voices who shall put you to sleep if you listen to it for too long. Either this weekend's about activation, about lighting a fire inside of you, and we'll probably talk more about this tomorrow, but I believe there's four types of prophecy. There's four dimensions within prophecy. All right? The first one is foretelling. It's the one that most people know about, the future. And when you foretell, it's this idea that I reveal what God has already done in your life or in the church life or an organization's life. And that's the one that we're really familiar with. And it's really funny. I don't often get those kind of big global foretelling words, except the week before I came here, God gave me two, which you always put your neck in the block when you start calling this stuff out. But for our country, can I just say something? You Americans take energy and oil too much for granted. Amen. Honestly, you're blessed. You have no idea how blessed you are. You get to drive those big old trucks, those big gas guzzlers. Do you know how much a gallon of fuel right now is back home? $12.50. And you're worrying about $4 a gallon? Dang it, I wish we lived. Let me tell you something. Right now in Europe, we're having major crisis because we relied on Russian oil. The Lord told me that we were going to have the mildest winter on record will take place over Europe because the Lord's hand's on this. And he told me the Russian invasion of Ukraine would be done by Christmas. And it's funny when those things come, there's a weightiness of the Lord starts to come in those. That's foretelling. And foretelling when you're a prophet is a scary thing. And many of you know, a lot of prophets right now made a lot of mistakes over this last year. Yeah. Not many of them have apologized just yet, but prophets are a bit hard to put down. You know, they'll get there, okay? We're a bit slow when we get it wrong to put our hands up. And that's the foretelling. It's the I see the future. See it all through Scripture. And then there's the other one that's like the calling forth. It's not about the future, but it's about that as I speak the prophetic, I call something out in you that wasn't meant to be, but that God is now going to make it be. Do you remember the dry bones? I speak to the bones and they will come alive. So that's these two insights to the prophetic. And then there's these other dimensions that a lot of people really forget about. And my eyesight's gone. I turned 50 last week. It's like my eyesight just went to pot all of a sudden. Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's like I really enjoyed 30, not so much 40. 50, I'm having a nervous breakdown. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, dang it, I'm getting old. When your kids who are 18, 6'2", who were only rolling around the floor last week are going out with girls 4 years older than them, and you're like, wow, what is going on, God? I'm old. And then I know 60's coming in 10 years' time, and that goes quick, I hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Best days of life are ahead of you. So you've got this foretelling, and then you've got this hindsight. The prophetic hindsight isn't so popular because it's this idea that in going back in and revealing your past, it's where God can interject in a place where a crossroads in your life took place which caused desolation and destruction. Mm-hmm. And so that you can identify in that season 10 years ago, this is where things went wrong. And the hurt and the pain of that season still has you out of balance. And the prophetic is designed to show you that in order that you bring healing to recorrect the balance so you get back on a life. And then the foretelling comes in and tells you where you got to go. Amen. So you've got this hindsight prophetic, and it's like this ability to go backwards in order to fix what's broken in the future. Are you with me?
Amen.
People don't like that one very much.
Oh, yeah.
Because it means that they have to admit that they're wrong or they made mistakes. And you know what Christians are really rubbish at? We for the people who should be really good at this, we really suck at it. Admitting our mistakes, dealing with the fallout, and getting back up and running again. And we don't always understand it. So there's this hindsight. Hey, and then there's this insight. And people really don't hate this. They hate this one. So if foretelling's a telescope, insight is a microscope. Have you ever looked at your arm or a piece of skin under a microscope? There's little creepy crawlies in there. Did you know that? I remember my sand class looking at a hair follicle and there was things moving in there. There's little critters in there that nobody wants to see. And when the prophetic comes along, it opens the heart to reveal what? The heart. And what do we do as Christians? Now, I don't want anybody to see my heart. Dang, it's dark in there. It's got cobwebs. I've been doing the plastic fantastic all these years. I'm a Barbie girl. It's fantastic. What are you Kens talking about? Don't you be laughing. I'm coming after you too. And you have this insight that reveals the heart. Why? Because when God comes along, it's about true identity. You see, God doesn't want you living a plastic, fantastic, let's pretend everything's okay Christianity. And the church has been awful at this game. You come to our place. I've just taken 4 new interns in this year. It's the first time after COVID I was able to get some interns. And they've come in. I've got 3 Europeans and an American. And they come into our culture and they go, I'm really scared here. Honestly, they come into our staff, they're like, I'm really scared here. I'm like, why? He's like, nothing. You can see everything. I can't hide here. It's true. Because when you come up in a church where everything gets exposed, how many of you know that's actually a really healthy place? Because the problem with exposure is shame, is that if you feel exposed by the prophetic, it's because you're hiding something in your shame for God to reveal it. And maybe you know when God reveals it, it's not to shame you, it's to bring you into freedom.
That's right.
And we spent far too long hiding, sticking it under a bench somewhere, hiding it. And God's calling out our true identity. You see, if something has happened to you, maybe even the things that are obvious, I've discovered it's the things that aren't obvious that causes our most pain. You know, I've discovered, I'm also a therapist. I'm currently training as a doctor. It's a long, hard journey, but I'm 8 years into being a doctor, and hopefully next year I'll become Dr. John Ash. That sounds just really weird, because I was uneducated at school, couldn't read a book, and now I read lots of books, and now I'm having to study. And you know what I've learned about people? Because as you learn to be a therapist, psychotherapist, that's what we do, you begin to really understand the identity of how people are wired. Can I tell you, most of the problems of our lives aren't because of ourselves, but they're because of our parents. And you've heard the old cliche, oh, we got daddy issues. Yep, some of you got daddy issues. Some of you got mummy issues. Some of you are daddies and mummies, and you've got issues. And let me tell you now, yes, you've screwed up your kids. Just accept it. Pray for them, yes, but you need to pray for yourself more. All right? And you know, this insight is God. It's God wanting to call you into your true identity, into your true destiny. So don't be surprised if he reveals the things of the heart. And everybody gets really nervous about that one. And that's the one I specialize in. All right? So I have you all already, all right? Get ready. The arrows are coming tomorrow. I'm kidding. Can I tell you, this isn't about exposure. Hear me. If you feel like the prophetic exposure, it's probably not right. But it brings to light that which is dark. That's what the kingdom of God does. And then finally, just to help you set you up for maybe tomorrow, we've got this oversight. And this one's a cool prophetic picture. It's not for everybody, but kind of, I think it's for leaders. And I think there's some leaders in the room. It's the ability, my dad died when I was 23, but after I was having a pretty hard time. My youngest sister was 15, and I had three sisters. And it was one of those seasons in life where you're like, you know, it's like my sisters wanted me to be their daddy and their brother until I tried to be their daddy. And then what did they say? You're not my daddy. And my mom wanted me to be her husband and her son. And maybe, you know, that's just impossible for any son to do. You know what I'm talking about? So I had this really weird thing going on where I moved back home with my mum. That was the worst idea at 23. And but I remember just having that hard time. And one of my friends he's a bit of a crazy guy, but he'd learned how to be a pilot. And he said to me, he says, hey, I've got some free flight time. Would you like to come up with me? I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Were you in a plane? So I'm like, all right, I'll take my life into my hands. We go into this. And he's like, these tiddly planes, have you ever seen these things? They're like tin cans with two wheels on them and a propeller. And he's lifting them up and down, and he's like that. And we get into it, and you can't see anything but the clouds in front of you. Because we don't have sunshine in Ireland, it's just clouds, okay? It's like, we love the summer, and now we're coming into the winter. It's 4 months of dark, grey, miserable rain. It gets dark at 9 a.m. and dark at 5 p.m., and it's like when the sun comes out of spring, it's like all these white corpses arrive out of their homes. Sunshine. 5 degrees and we've got our T-shirts on, getting the sun. So we get in this plane and we're taking off. And he's flying over, I live right beside it, he's flying over my house. And I'm looking down going, man, I didn't realize my house was so close to the golf course. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that that was so close to where. And it's funny, when you look from up above and you look down, you see it from a completely different perspective. And the prophetic for leadership is the ability to come up right down and look at it like from a helicopter perspective, where you begin to see things up above that God says, hey, that's not meant to be there. Let's move that there to there. And it's a gift of leadership and prophetic. And those four dimensions are designed to do what? Build a healthy church. And as I said to you, the problem is, for the most part, the church has become a non-profit organization. Because we're scared of them. It's true. Even the people of prophecy are scared of the prophets. Because you're slightly nervous. I see your faces. Remember, I'm a psychologist. I see it. We're slightly nervous, but we're slightly excited. And you don't know whether you're 95% nervous and 5% scared, or 95% scared and 5% excited. You can't move it. And that's how it works. on a prophetic weekend. And God, I'm excited. The reason why I'm excited is because I see hungry people who get it. Do you know how hard that is to find in a church culture today? Because we've got all this religion and all these things that get in the way and go, prophets aren't for today. They make mistakes. They get it wrong. Imagine that. Dang, imagine that. But false prophets. But can I tell you something? How do you know a false prophet? If I had a $5 that was fake, how would you know it's fake unless you'd seen the real thing? It's knowing the real thing that reveals the fakery. And it's the heart posture that receives. I'm excited, you know why? Because there's a couple of things that I already see in this room that I think eternal destinies for people's lives are going to be. You excited?
Yes.
Tell your faces. Told you we're sarcastic. We like to have fun, the Irish. You know, church was... We've gone and got ourselves all far too serious. You know, we have to bring the fun back to church. We've got to bring a fun back to Scripture. We've got to bring the fun back to the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, a third of heaven is a joy. Yeah. Tell your faces. Come on.
Right.
You know, find the joy of the Lord in your life again and get excited. The excitement, hunger, and passion is what releases heaven. I've seen it. I've tasted it. It's like when people go after holiness and they go after with a hunger and passion to go after the Lord, it's like that's where the miraculous comes. And, you know, we love worship. It's great. We love the sermons. We love the teaching. We love the worship. There's a lot of pastors in this room. And I don't mean that from the 5-hole ministry. I just mean, you know what I'm talking about. You're just pastors. Oh, I'll take care of you. You can call me anytime. I'll make you an apple crumble. Come here. I see your pain. Let me rub some ointment in that and I'll take care of you. You know what I'm talking about? Church full of pastors. We all love on each other and we take care of each other and we tell how great each other is. And then the prophets come in and they tell you how bad it is and how terrible your life is. And the prophets are in the pastors' parade. And the teachers don't like the prophets either. Because the teachers are all about the Word of God. More Word of God in your life and you'll be fine. Read the Word of God and your marriage will be okay. And the prophets, they're coming down and they're like, you know, they're reading the microwave. 1, 2, 3, 4, look, it's a portal to heaven. And the teachers are going, you guys are cray cray. And then you got the apostles and they're like, Shabba, get on the floor. Boom. Just stay there. Just stay down in there and you'll be down in there and you get the Holy Spirit, he'll sort you out. And if you get up again, I'm going to put you back down there again. Speaking tongues for 10 years, you'll be all right. Just lie there and your marriage will go fine. And then you got the evangelists, you know them? The only problem is they're not in church. You know, the evangelists, they lead 50 people to Jesus. They go, I'm not giving them to the church. Give them to church, they'll ruin them. And they're sitting in there looking at all them going, look at you, he's sitting in there in your fat backsides doing nothing. There's a car out there with 5 people in it going to hell and you don't even care. So the evangelists start a church and after a year they blow it up. Because whenever you make disciples, they don't want to share their faith with anybody. They want to come and sit in church and listen to nice music and sing Kumbaya. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So we got the apostles, we got the prophets, we got the teachers, we got the evangelists, we got the pastors. And we all see it from different angles. And yet the best churches are the ones that have all 5 going well in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, the evangelists in the church are to remind you that there's a lost world out there.
Yeah.
And the pastors are there not to just tell you how great you are, but to kick you in the backside whenever you're down and say, come on, get yourself back up again and running.
Yes. Yes.
And the teachers are there to bring, and Abner read it, to bring correction to your terrible theology. And you don't think you have any? Trust me, you do. And they're meant to point it out. And then the prophets come along and they tell you the Lord's will for your life. And what do? Nah. I ain't doing that. That's too hard work. I'd rather just sit in church singing Kumbaya. That's much better. And the apostles, they're still wanting you to pray in tongues for 10 years just to get your marriage right. Now, the apostles bring the blueprint of heaven. And in that house, everything flows. And God wants you to flow in the right way. And for too long, how many of you know the church has flowed really terribly? It's time that we stop being a non-profit organization. We start embracing the faithful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, thank you for this house, Lord. I thank you for the heart of this house, Lord, for the people in it, God. And Lord, today, would you burst the bubble in our bellies that streams of living water would flow from within us, God. Father, would you open up the divine nature of heaven in our minds? Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and words to speak, Lord. Lord, would you peel back the religious, the Pharisee that lives in us, that we would hear your truth, your word, and your grace, Lord, and that you would put a holy excitement in our spirits tonight, God, as we come, Lord, hungry for you. Teach us your ways, Jesus. You know, some of you have been robbed. So, Lord, show me. You've been robbed of ministries. You've been robbed of life. You've been robbed of finances, robbed of freedom, robbed of children, robbed of a marriage. You know, now we're going back in the time thing that God says, hey, it doesn't have to stay there. But you might have to face it and deal with something in order to correct it. And the shame and the guilt of the history is not meant to define you. Do you know, the way to deal with shame is to have a testimony. If you're in shame about something that's hidden, I had a young girl, had 3 abortions in our church, so ashamed, became a Christian. I says, you know the only way you're going to fix this is to stand up and tell everybody. I can't tell everybody that, John. So, well, then it's not a testimony. 6 months, she fought and toiled. One Sunday morning, she came up, she took the microphone. She says, I have something I want to tell you all today. I've had 3 abortions. I'm so sorry. What do you think happened? Became a testimony in that moment. It wasn't defining her life anymore. It became a testimony. Can I say to the room, just because you've had an abortion doesn't define who you are. Some of you are still living under stuff like that for far too long. And you know who I'm talking about. Sometimes God comes in these moments to help us break the shame of our lives. Sometimes we have to be honest about where we're at in order to move forward. Let me tell you something. Sin historically will tangle you like you wouldn't believe. And then it will tell you. Do you know the word Satan means accuser? Do you know the word accuser is used 47 times in the scriptures? Only 7 times does it refer to Satan, the devil. Do you know in Matthew when it says settle matters quickly with your accuser? Do you know who your biggest accuser is? Isn't Satan? That word is yourself. We are terrible at accusing ourselves. We're our biggest accusers. And God says, hey, I don't accuse you. Why are you? And sometimes we have to deal with the pain of the past to move forward. Anybody got bad hearing? Who's got bad hearing? Somebody deaf in an ear? You, one. Anybody else? 2. Okay. Wait, madam, you're 1 ear? Your left? Who else? She can't hear me. Good. Now you can hear me. Okay, good. All right. Good. If you've got bad hearing, just stand up. All right. We've had three ears open up in the last 4 weeks in our church. I mean, we have never seen that, by the way. That's like praying for years and years, and we've not seen that. You're hearing issues. Hey, there's a pastor right there. Yes, you. Yeah, you're more desperate for everybody else to get freedom and help. And that's not a bad thing, though. That's good, but we'll talk more. Let me just pray. Have you got whatever ears, put your finger in your ear. I know it's a bit strange, just put your finger in your ear. Let me just pray. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, open these ears now in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name. Deaf ears open. More. Holy Spirit. Pop an echo in God. Echo. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yeah. Okay, you can listen out and see if you can hear anything. I'm done for tonight. John, do you want to take a mic? Thanks so much. Look forward to hanging out with you tomorrow. Thanks.